My sermon this morning is a sermon that I jotted down from some notes this week that I took. And the thought came to my mind, if this was my last sermon, this was my last opportunity, I'd never get another chance to speak the Word of God. I'd never get another chance to talk to you about the things that are on God's heart. What text would I use to share with you? And you don't have to be a pastor to ask yourself that same question. You're in the presence of somebody you care about. What is the last thing that you would like them to know? Well, the question and the text that came across to my mind is related in Scripture in three places. Matthew 16, 13 through 20, which is the one I'm going to be reading. Mark 8, 27 through 29. And Luke 9, 18 through 20. They all deal with this very same subject. And if I never got the opportunity to share this subject again, I want to share it today. Because it is the most important word that you could ever hear. Because Jesus asked the question. And there is a definite, proper answer, and there is an improper answer. So if you would, as you turn to Matthew 16, I would like to begin reading with verse 13 through 20. And for those of you who would, please stand in honor of God's word this morning. And the Word of God says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this day, and I just pray that your Spirit take this word and this message that you laid upon my heart, Lord God, and that it may be heard and listened to and understood, Lord God. I just pray, Lord Jesus, that you are glorified here this morning and that you give us the strength to follow you in the way and in the purpose you have set before us. As not only individuals, but as a church. For we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Why did I choose this text, you may ask? There are many, many good texts that is worthy of being preached. But not all of them have the impact that this one has. Because the impact in your life, and I'm speaking of your eternal life, is who you think Jesus Christ is? That is the greatest question you will ever ask. I could never stand out there and take a stick and beat you up to the cross and beat you up to the altar and do that kind of thing. Because you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, Peter did not know what he knew by his own training and his own thinking. He only knew what he knew and was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. You see, that's why nobody is drugged to the altar. That's why nobody is drugged to the cross. We are led as Jesus Christ and who he is revealed to us, each of us, personal and individually. Why this text? I thought about what many people think and believe about Jesus today. There are three basic beliefs out there, three basic practices that I see. The first practice is many like to keep Jesus as a baby. They like to keep him for Christmas. They like to keep him in a manger. They like to keep him because everybody loves cuddly little babies. They never go beyond who Jesus Christ is from a baby. So they love Luke chapter 2. They love Matthew chapter 1. They love those chapters because it talks about the infant born in a manger. We know why he was born in a manger, because he had to be born in the flesh like you and I are. That's why he was born in a manger. God did not intend Jesus to stay a baby. So we have all of the Christmas worshipers that come and sing and worship all the songs about Jesus being a baby. It's not going to do it. It's not going to do it at all. Then there are those who like to have and see the man of Galilee, the man who performed miracles, the miracle man. That's who they worship. That's who they believe in. They only believe in the man of Galilee who would go down and heal people and drive out demons and just do and make people's lives better. And when things don't always happen or work out the way that they want them to, then the miracle man has been tainted. But there are those that only believe in the miracle man, Jesus. But then there are those who love to hold Jesus up on a cross, the suffering Savior. That's all that he is to them, is he died. There are crosses that people wear that still hang of him hanging. They're called a crucifix most of the time. But they still have him hanging on a cross. My Bible tells me that he came down off that cross into a tomb and came out of that tomb. That's what my Bible tells me. But you know, there are so many caught up in the suffering Savior that there is a place in New Mexico, just not far down from where I live, that every Easter they would trek to Tome Hill because it had three crosses on it. And people would literally put themselves in the place of Christ, thinking that their own self-sacrifice would give them the righteousness that they would need. There are those that think being pain, suffering pain, wearing crowns, putting themselves on a cross is going to impose some kind of special righteousness to them. That's why Jesus suffered on the cross, so that we wouldn't have to. But many follow that Jesus. You stop there, and you still fall short of heaven. You stop with the miracle man, and you still fall short of heaven. You stop as a baby worshiper, and you still stop short of heaven. You see, Jesus didn't care to hear what others thought about who he was. Now get that picture, my friend. You can repeat everything that everybody else says. You can tell us everything that what they believe, but God doesn't care about that. He wants to know what you believe. Jesus says, I don't care what they say. I want to know who you believe I, the Son of Man, am. Because that's where it makes a difference, is who you believe he is. You know, it's a sad thing. Because the Bible today has looked like as a book of fantasy. Equated with Harry Potter and other books of fantasy that are nothing more than that. This is not fantasy. In fact, you can go to many who tried to prove it out to be a fantasy that ended up getting saved because it proved the truth of God's Word, not the falseness of God's Word. Lee Strobel being one, Josh McDowell being another, and these guys were researchers. They went to prove the Bible is wrong. They found out they couldn't because there's too much evidence. And that is with Jesus. The best book I ever read on the tree of the resurrection was Josh McDowell's The Resurrection Factor. Man, I'm here to tell you. You want to read something eye-opening? You need to read that. We need to put away the things that cloud our minds and our visions of who Jesus is. I'm not saying don't enjoy things that you enjoy doing. I'm not saying, but don't let that overshadow the truth and the validity of God's Word, because it is valid. It always has been valid. This text, one day, each and every one of us will stand and we'll give an account. Who was Jesus to you? And you'll be looking him right in the face when you answer that question. What are you going to say? I didn't believe because of all the fantasy out there. I kind of got muddled. I just figured I had time. What lame excuse are we going to give when we stand before God or we stand before his Son and it's too late? When we stand there, it's too late. There is no turning back. There is no changing. There is no paying or praying you out of a place that doesn't exist called purgatory. One shot. You got one shot. That shot's here and now. To make your life count and to make it right. And anybody that teaches differently is a heretic. It's heresy. I always find when things are repeated to be very important. And I found this to be very important because it was repeated in Mark and repeated in Luke. Did you ever ask yourself, it's not repeated in John? Why is it not repeated in John? Let me tell you why it's not repeated in John. Because John named and claimed and expressed the very vision of who Jesus Christ was. That's why. He knew who he was. There was no doubt. Peter, he was powerful, but he had to grow up. Okay? I never find anywhere in God's Word where John faltered or failed in his following who Jesus was. Peter, we know he denied Christ 3 times because he was afraid of the crowd. Let's not make ourselves better than what he is, because I doubt if very many of us would have passed that particular test. But you see, Peter was the first to speak up. Who do you think that I am? He says, you are Christ. That word Christ means Messiah. You are the Messiah. You are the one sent from God. You are the one here to bring us eternal life and to restore to us what was taken. And I'm not talking about Israel. I'm talking about eternal life. as it was supposed to be. But sin kind of ended that. So we want to ask ourselves, what Jesus do I believe in? What Christ is it that I follow? Do I follow the Christ in a manger? Do I follow the Christ that's the miracle man? Do I only follow the Christ that's the suffering Savior? Do I follow the Christ that did all of those things, ended up dead, and resurrected again that you and I might have life? That's the Christ we should be following. Because there is no other name in heaven whereby we may be saved, it says in Acts. No other name. No church, no denomination, no religion, only the name of Jesus. So if we're a religious sort or a denominational sort, then you and I better get over it and get with it. Do you think for a moment, just because I was raised in a Southern Baptist church, if the Southern Baptist decided to go against God's word, I wouldn't leave them in a heartbeat? Do you think that for a moment? You better know I will. They begin to propagate heresy, I am not going to be a part of it. And I pray to God you wouldn't either. That's the one thing I have, is the truth of God's word, the truth of my Savior, the truth of my Jesus. If I had just one message left in me, this is your message. This is for you today. To take it, harbor it in your hearts. You know, I thought about Revelation. I want to read for you a portion in Revelation here. You want to know who Jesus is? Well, let's take a look at who Jesus is. Revelation chapter 1, beginning with verse 9. Now, this is where John is having a vision. This is not a dream. A vision is when someone is in an awake state and yet has a revelation given to them. So he wasn't asleep. He wasn't dreaming. He was in a vision. It says, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. The word of God and his testimony in Christ is what drove him to Patmos. Excommunicate him, get rid of him, out of sight, out of mind. And he's willingly admitting that. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Please burn those words into your head. Jesus is saying this. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. There was none before him and there will be none after him. That's who Jesus is. Please, please listen to that. He says, and what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. To Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that speaks with me. And having turned, I saw seven gold lampstands. And on the midst and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his and hair were white as wool, like wool, and white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun, shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I live forevermore. Do I hear an amen? Amen. He lived, died, and is now alive forevermore. You can't get it any clearer than that. That is our Jesus. You can say, well, that's quite a description. Yeah, it is. And you know, it isn't the first time that he's shown himself that way either. We studied in Sunday school class a little bit ago how Miriam and Aaron decided to get on the case of Moses because he married an Ethiopian woman. They didn't like it. So they were railing on him, and a cloud appeared in the tabernacle. I love this. That cloud says, I want to see you three. Let's go. So they followed and went privately into the place. And as they went there, Moses, I don't know if you ever knew this or not, Moses was called the most humble man on the face of the earth. Can you get that? I mean, that I never heard that before. I never saw that before. And guess who stood at the door? The Son of God. He stood there in smoke, flames, eyes that were just shining as bright as fire flames. And he was upset. Basically, how dare you accuse my servant Moses, the most humble man on the face of this planet? Who are you to make this accusation? Who do you think you are? He said what he had to say and left. Well, Miriam all of a sudden looked down and she was leprosy ridden from the top to the bottom. Aaron freaked out. What do I do? You know what he did? He ran to Moses, got down on it, and said, Moses, help us. Look at our sister. Look at Miriam. Please have God heal her. God told Moses, there is a consequence for sin. And like a daughter who had a father spit in her face, had to go outside the camp for 7 days. So shall Miriam go outside the camp for 7 days, and then she will be healed and re-enter. You see, their sin, it did not go unnoticed by God. Their accusations did not go unnoticed by God, and neither did the punishment go unnoticed by God. See, this Jesus that we're talking about here, he is as real as you all sitting right there in those seats. Mother Earth, nature, it's just like the Bible says. People would rather believe the creation as God's as opposed to the Creator. You see, in the Bible, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So guess who was there in the creation doing it? Jesus was. You know why Satan hates us so much? Because God created you and I in his image. That's why. He cannot stand anything representing the image of Holy God. And that's why he hates you. And he hates me. And he will do anything he can to keep you from coming to the truth of who Jesus Christ is. Jesus said, whosoever shall call upon my name shall be saved. Do you hear me? Whosoever. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you know or don't know. The Spirit, when he moves your heart, will you listen? Will you respond? Will you come? Because this is no fantasy. This is as real as it gets. This is as real as it gets. So what would your last moments be? If I was to walk out of this pulpit and never be able to enter it again, I will have done exactly what my God wanted me to do. And that's tell you who really, really is the one to make a difference. That one walking amongst the lampstands. That one that stood in the face of Moses and lifted him up and protected him against those who lied and railed against him. Who is it that stands up for us? It is our Lord Jesus Christ, the same one. He stands on your behalf and mine. How awesome is our God. The moment sin came into being, God had the plan already in motion. That moment, He knew what was going to happen before it even happened. Most of us would avoid situations like that. Even when He saved Noah and the other seven, He knew it would start all over again. He knew it would come to what we have here today and get worse. He knew that. But God, and only God, loves His creation, and that's you and me. Only He can love you like a real father. See, my hope and my confidence is to know that my Jesus will never turn His back on me. That's my hope. That's my confidence. That's what I want to give to you. That's the reality and the truth that I want to share with you this morning. Have you received? You won't receive unless you're led by the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is forever knocking on our hearts, trying to get our attention, trying to let us know how much God loves us, showing us in His Word what He paid the price for that you and I couldn't even pay the price for ourselves. It's all here. It's all in black and red. What are we going to do with it? Who are you going to tell? Is there somebody you don't love? Is there somebody that you don't care about so much that should they die right this moment, you never took the opportunity to tell them, do you know the Son of Man? Do you know Jesus, who is the flaming fire, the chess man, the circle? A circle never ends. It's eternal. Do you not care about somebody enough to tell them? Oh, I know. I know what you're thinking. Yeah, but it's not going to make me very popular. Yeah, somebody might make fun of me. Who cares? Are their souls not worth salvation? Because guess what? I didn't feel like mine was, but somebody else did. And I believe yours is too. I believe yours is too. And you know, if we say we're a Christian, then we better start living like it if we're not. We better start thinking like it. We better start talking like it. We better start walking like it. You know, the Bible says that we are to walk like God walks. Paul says, walk and be like me. And he could say that because he was walking in the footprints of Jesus Christ. Are we? Can we say that to somebody? Can we say, follow my lead? Follow my footsteps? Can we say that? there will be no excuse. And there will be no second chance if we leave this earth without Jesus Christ. I continually pray every day for the safety and the security of the minds of our kids. I do. And not just from school either. Their friends. Just like in the adult world, so many, you can ask them, are you saved? Oh, I go to church all the time. Or I'm this religion, that religion, or the other religion. That does not hold any water. So you've been a Southern Baptist all your life, or you've been a Congregationalist all your life. That doesn't weigh anything. That doesn't mean a thing to God. He wants to know, do you know His Son? That's what He wants to know. My beloved, do you know the Son of God? Do you know Him this morning? Have you given your heart to Him? That's got to be your choice, just like it was Peter's, just like it was Paul's, just like it was those who followed Jesus. He didn't force them. He simply said, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. A tax collector, hated, follow me. And then a Pharisee among Pharisees. A religious of a religion. Paul. One man tried to stomp out the Christian church. Well, we know how that ended. And it was, Paul said it was the best thing that ever happened to him. Amen. He lived under the guise of being the chief among sinners. Well, I want to tell him I rival him for that. Because that's how I feel sometimes too. No more. No longer. The walk and the talk have to match. So what will it be? You got one message left to give. What would that message be? And who would that message be to? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Or paraphrase, but through me. He's the only way. So my friend, we need to know the way. And that way is Jesus Christ. That's my last text, if this be my last sermon, that I want you to know. I want to ask you to bow your heads with me real quick, if you would, please. How many today, no one looking around, the most serious question you can be asked is, who is Jesus to you? I want to just simply say, if this Jesus I have explained to you, the Jesus that has risen from the tomb, not the one who was a baby in a manger, not the one who was just the miracle man at Galilee, not the one who just suffered on a cross, but the one who came out of the tomb and is alive today on the right hand of the Father interceding for us. That's the Jesus. Do you know Him? If you need special prayer in your walk today to follow Him, I want to pray for you. And I want to pray that the Holy Spirit speaks to your hearts. If you have a prayer need today, in whatever way it is, I don't need to know. God already knows. His Son knows. I would just like to petition Him in prayer needs this morning. Is there anyone here today? You have a prayer need? Would you just raise your hand? Anyone? Amen. Praise God. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Anyone else this morning? Our Heavenly Father, You've seen the hands, but You also know the hearts. And Lord God, I cannot get it any clearer and simpler and more truthful than this. Nothing else in life will matter like the decision to follow your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Christ, who is the Messiah, who came and loved this world that He created, demonstrating that love on the cross and dying for our sins, because we are all sinners. There are lost sinners and there are saved sinners. Which are we? We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus Christ, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. In His name I pray. Amen. Would you please stand with me?